Inside this building, the state superintendents just wrapped up a meeting on how to address violence in schools. And those leading the meeting are students. We'll tell you how it went.
A Durham man imprisoned for 15 years for shooting a police officer. Now, advocates are fighting to dismiss all his charges. What was revealed in court today?
They're kind of circumventing the law.
The State Board of Elections is being asked to investigate the video poker industry. Find out what's being alleged.
Unsettled weather is still with us. Who could see a shower tomorrow? Then I'm tracking when we dry out and warm up.
Taking a live look at Jewel Duff of 5000 tonight, tracking some lingering showers in a section of Sampson County. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. More rain chances to start off our Wednesday. It's day after day, isn't it? After that, though, we are seeing a turnaround. Thankfully, meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We're heading for a warm-up, Kat.
Yes, we are. And we're going to see a little bit more and more sunshine each day. It's going to be a gradual trend toward better weather each day. Starting tomorrow, I think we'll see a little bit more sunshine during the afternoon. That should warm us up to 77, but still cloudy with rain in the morning possible. Thursday and Friday, just a 20% chance for rain. And as rain chances go down, temperatures are going up 80 on Thursday and back up to 84, close to normal for this time of year on Friday. Your dog walking forecast tomorrow as you're waking up, some clouds around along with some patchy drizzle. It's just a gray start to your day. But by the afternoon, we see breaks in the clouds similar to what we saw today. And I think we could see even more sunshine than what we saw today. And I've bumped up the high to 77. Out there tonight, though, we do have a lingering shower in southern Sampson County pushing in to the extreme southern part of Cumberland County. I think that shower will stay south of Fayetteville, though, as it continues to track to the west. I'll have a closer look at what we expect in terms of the cloud cover tomorrow, hour by hour, coming up.
All right, talk to you then. Thanks, Kat.
New at 7, some students from our area just wrapped up a private meeting with our state superintendent about school safety. This conversation comes at the end of a school year that included countless threats and guns on campuses across our area. WRAL's Julian Grace is live from the Education Building in downtown Raleigh. And Julian, you just spoke with some of the students before they went into the meeting.
That is right, Ashley. Those students were completely focused on this meeting, and they were excited to have the opportunity to talk with those who are in charge of their education right here in the state of North Carolina. Let's go to the video. This is video of the students as they walk in, and you can see that determination on their face as they head in to talk with Kathy Truitt and her staff. Now, back in February, these students performed the popular play State of Emergency at Hillside High School in Durham. The performance came a couple of weeks after two students from the school were shot. This year, North Carolina schools have seen a number of threats and reports of students with guns in schools. And one student told us her solution to the superintendent.
I'd say having more student meetings, involving students and getting people from our actual community more engaged in the meetings and actual things and actual protocols that we can change to make our schools more better. I think coming down to the schools, you know, every once in a while, every month, getting student officers from different schools to come and talk to the superintendent and tell them what they want to know, what would make their school better.
These students are so bright. Now, after they came out, we talked to them more about how that meeting went and also if any of their ideas will be adopted moving forward. You'll hear about that more tonight at 10 and 11. And Ashley, we also want to let you know that Truitt did not come out for the debrief. We were hoping to get an opportunity to talk with her, but we did not.
We are looking forward to hearing more from those students tonight. Julian Grace reporting live in downtown Raleigh. Thank you.
Four people, including two small children, were hurt in a head-on crash this evening. The scene on Gordon Road in Johnston County near Clayton tells the story. The WR Breaking News tracker was there tonight, where officials say a driver crossed the center line while going around a curve. That driver hit a Jeep with two kids inside. All four victims were taken to Wake Med. No word on the charges that might follow or the injuries.
We now know the name of the little boy killed while riding his electric scooter in a neighborhood in Apex. Ion Vashari was a fourth grader at Combs Elementary School. He died yesterday. Neighbors tell us he and other friends were playing on Woodall Crest Drive when a car hit him. He later died at the hospital. Chris Chandler said the little boy was at his house earlier in the day playing with his daughter and drawing pictures to give to first responders.
He's like a big brother. That was one of her best friends, if not her best friend. And they were, you know, the old saying, thick as thieves.
So sad. The driver was not injured and is not facing charges right now. Police are reconstructing the crash as part of the investigation.
A Durham man has been in prison for 15 years for shooting a police officer. His lawyers say police arrested the wrong guy, and they're fighting to have his conviction overturned. WRAL was in court today for the hearing. Kevin Johnson was convicted for the 2007 crime, yet has always said he didn't do it. The North Carolina Center on Actual Innocence took on the case and has now filed a motion that would dismiss the charges. They say a key witness recanted his testimony and now admits Johnson was not there.
I think law enforcement failed him. I think the officers were cutting deals and they ignored leads that were much more reliable. They were trying to that tunnel vision and bias, which we see in a lot, especially in an officer shooting.
The hearing will resume Thursday morning. The decision on whether to dismiss the charges is ultimately up to the judge. If Johnson's charges are upheld, he's scheduled to be released in 2033.
A man faces several charges accused of threatening to kill our U.S. senators. Investigators say 51-year-old Eric Welton called the offices of Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr multiple times with death threats. Welton is a U.S. citizen who lives in Thailand. Investigators say he's threatened Marines who work out there. But Welton, the FBI agents, arrested Welton at the Atlanta airport while he was still in the States. If convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison.
New allegations that the video poker industry made illegal political donations totaling nearly $900,000. A political watchdog filed the formal complaint today with the North Carolina Board of Elections. WRAL's Shelley Jackson breaks down why it's so relevant now.
A complaint filed today alleges the video poker industry illegally donated $885,000 to political candidates and committees.
That's a huge amount of money. This is an unbelievably large amount of money.
Bob Hall is the former director of Democracy North Carolina. He filed the complaint today with the Board of Elections.
We don't want an industry flourishing that is into bribery.
The complaint alleges members and firms affiliated with the North Carolina Coin Operators Association conspired to deliver unprecedented sums to key state legislators in a coordinated manner. Hall thinks the donors sidestepped the law on political action committees to donate more.
But because they're doing it as individuals, they can get together a bunch of checks, put them in a package, and deliver them, hand them to the legislator.
The complaint says donations made between 2019 and 2022 are in question. Those donations range from $50 up to $5,600.
It does seem like it's orchestrated, and it's a kind of a conspiracy to, as they do with a lot of other things, circumvent the law and put a lot of money into politics in order to get special favors.
While video poker has been illegal in North Carolina since 2007, gaming companies have constantly found loopholes in the law. And now HB 512 would legalize video poker as a new revenue source for the state. Hall is concerned about large sums of money circumventing democracy.
We just want to let our legislators to pay attention to the merits of legislation that comes before them and not be swayed by bribes.
I reached out to directors and board members with the NCCOA. They declined an interview. I also reached out to lawmakers listed in the complaint. They also did not return my phone calls. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Medical marijuana is one step closer to legalization in North Carolina. The state Senate passed the bill this spring, and now, for the first time, the state House has held a public hearing on it. They're proposing medical marijuana use for some debilitating diseases like cancer, ALS, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and PTSD. Senator Bill Rabin is the bill's sponsor. He survived advanced colon cancer years ago. He said his oncologist told him if he wanted to live through the chemotherapy, he would need to find marijuana to help fight the nausea.
That's the only reason I'm alive today. And there's no science behind it, but I can tell you, I know. I know. And there are tens of thousands of people in this state that could benefit just as I did.
The bill would not legalize recreational marijuana, and there are a number of conditions in this legislation. The state would control the production of the drug and access to it. Patients would have to be certified by their doctor to be able to buy and use medical marijuana. Opponents say there is not enough evidence that the drug actually helps.
Still ahead, new video shows the moments a camper went up in flames on the side of a highway in our area. What we're learning about the investigation tonight, that's coming up. Plus, with Duke energy prices potentially skyrocketing, viewers are trying to figure out how to save. We took your questions to the power company. We'll go in depth next. All right, welcome back and welcome to In Depth. This is where we look a little bit more closely at certain topics and then have a discussion. Send your thoughts and feedback to Dan at WRAL.com. I'm the guy in the snazzy suit. We'll get you some answers if we can, like a viewer named Alex, who asked about Duke's policy of wiping out solar energy credits once a year. He said, when my system produces more energy than we can use, the excess gets pushed to the grid. Once a year, Duke wipes any credit balance to your account. This practice essentially amounts to theft, he said. And I had some more questions for Alex about all this, so I gave him a quick call.
I sent you that screenshot, and at that time I had almost a megawatt credit balance. And that's fairly significant. That, I mean, that's anywhere from like anywhere from $100 to $150, roughly.
Alex and I worked really hard at framing that shot. He was hiding out down there in the corner. I did send Alex's concerns to Duke Energy, and a spokesperson sent me this. The NC Utilities Commission set up the net metering this way in 2005 because the value of energy varies by season. Still, the policy does not lead to a good customer experience. So Duke changed the policy to no longer zero out any credits and said it's set to go in effect for new net metering customers on October 1st, which sounds like pretty good news for Alex and all the other Alexes out there who use solar and want those credits. I still want some more clarity, though, like would Alex be considered a new net metering customer? He is an old one, or are those just semantics and it doesn't really matter? Regardless, though, Alex, you weren't alone in your feeling, and the policy is changing. Now, this discussion spurred from a WRAL Investigates piece called Electric Shock. Here's why Duke Energy could double your monthly power bill in the coming years, and my reporting about Duke's unique position as a publicly traded for-profit monopoly monitored by a government committee, and how some lawmakers and voters are considering different market structures. A new statewide poll shows voters from across party lines support more competition and consumer choice in their energy providers. More than 80% of voters support a study to examine options for modernizing Duke Energy's monopoly to provide more competition and direct sales from other providers. Not to mention, some of our viewers are frankly terrified by the prospect of their electric bill doubling. Pamela lives in rural Sampson County and said, I'm a school cafeteria worker. My husband's on Social Security. If Duke doubles the prices, I don't know how we will manage. I can't afford to spend a lot of money to upgrade my system either. She has a two-story home, a beautiful home, but uses electric to heat it in the winter. Her cheapest winter bill, she shared this with me, this is a bill from January, was $563. Double that, and it's a lot of money. Maybe you have some similar concerns. Let me know. I'm working to get some answers for Pamela right now. Programs she can use, groups that could help her out, any options that could ease her anxiety over all of this. So please tell me what is on your mind. Email me at dan@wral.com. I can get your questions to the right people. This is a segment that is for you, but you have to engage. Let me know what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
Great segment, Dan. New video shows the moments after a camper caught fire on a Durham County highway. A viewer sent us this vantage point captured around lunchtime on I-885 southbound near Ellis Road. The right shoulder was closed near exit 8 while crews worked on the fire. The lane reopened before 2. Authorities have not said what caused the camper to catch fire or if anyone was injured. Tonight, Fort Bragg is a step closer to becoming Fort Liberty. Final preparations are underway for the Sunset Liberty March Thursday night. The march mirrors the one that happens every day in Holland. 48 Allied soldiers, including members of the 82nd Airborne Division, died fighting for that country's liberty. Beginning Thursday night, the first Sunset Liberty March takes place on Liberty Trail, formerly Bragg Boulevard. Fort Bragg's commander says the march is an outstanding way to honor all those who have fought and died for liberty.
Every day we come out and we represent, a veteran of the day will come out and we will represent a gold star, a person who gave his life, a family. Family members can come and do it. Anyone can come here and do that and sign up and do it. And every day we will remember.
You'll also get a history lesson about the evolution of Fort Bragg. Signs along the trail highlight significant events that have taken place dating back to 1774. Let's take a live picture now at Beaufort. Okay, you can see some. Look at this sunset. That's beautiful. It's looking nice out there, Kat.
It is. It's a beautiful evening in Beaufort. Finally, some of the beaches getting to see some sunshine, and some of us are as well. A live look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Nice enough for some golfers out this afternoon. It's been a nice evening so far with some of these breaks in the clouds, and the bulk of the rain has already cleared out of the area. Over the next couple of hours, it's a 20% chance for rain. Otherwise, temperatures remain in the 60s, and we stay mostly cloudy heading into tonight. And those breaks in the clouds, they're not going to last long. We're going to see the clouds to fill right back in tonight. But this is really our remaining showers south of Fayetteville and Cumberland County, and it'll continue to move to the west, could move into Hoke County, but it should start to fade here over the next hour or two as we lose the heating of the day after sunset. Low pressure continues to spin offshore, but our northeast wind's still in place, and that's drawing in a lot of moisture in the low levels of the atmosphere, and that's going to amount to the thick cloud cover in the morning and just a gray, dreary start to your day. So be prepared. 90 to 100% of the sky is going to be covered with clouds as you wake up tomorrow morning. Maybe a little tough to get out of bed with the gray start, but similar to what we saw today, we see some sunshine by the afternoon in between the clouds. And we could see a little bit more than we did today. We're going to see some gradual improvements moving forward. Rain chances, a 30% chance of a little drizzle tomorrow morning, and then a 20% chance for rain during the afternoon. It's not going to add up to much, though. We're talking less than a tenth of an inch of rain for most of our area. The exception could potentially come on Saturday evening and Saturday night. We could see a few thunderstorms moving in with a cold front, and that could allow for some locally higher totals. Otherwise, even with these low rain chances over the next 4 days, it's just not going to add up to much. So if you do have any plants or your garden's very sensitive and needs a lot of water, you may need to start watering again this week since it's not going to add up to much naturally. Saturday, a 30% chance for rain thanks to the cold front moving through the area, and that knocks down temperatures again temporarily. Our tropical outlook shows a system that we're watching in the Gulf of Mexico. There's a 20% chance that this could develop into something tropical within the next week. It's still not a high chance. It's a low chance, but it is going to be crossing over Florida this weekend, and the steering current should carry it out into the Atlantic. Likely to stay well offshore of the Carolinas, but just be aware if you're thinking about a trip to the beach this weekend, this could lead to an increased risk for rip currents. That's going to depend on how organized it's able to become over the next couple of days. So just keep checking in for updates. We'll let you know if there is a threat for rip currents at the coast this weekend. Outside tomorrow, a gray start to the day, but improvements a bit later on. You may run into a little bit of drizzle early on, but it's just a few spotty light showers during the afternoon. And Thursday and Friday should be pretty similar. A little bit more sunshine each day moving forward. By Friday, we could warm up to the mid-80s. The normal high this time of year is 83, so we may be right on par by the end of the week. A couple of warm days to kick off your weekend with overall pretty low rain chances. No day looks like a washout over the next 7 days.
That's what we want to hear. Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, they quickly rose to internet fame, and now the North Carolina Aquarium Otter Family is making a move to help them thrive. We got details for you coming up.
And here is a live look at Wrightsville Beach. You know, you don't see a lot of people playing volleyball, but you do see a straight person just walking the shoreline.
That would be me. I think this guy's got the right idea.
And look at the blue sky. It's a beautiful sight there. Hey, if you're planning a trip to Myrtle Beach soon, you will have to abide by a new rule on the sand.
They don't mess around when it comes to umbrellas. They got a serious umbrella situation going on there. They only allow certain types until Labor Day. Only circular umbrellas smaller than 7.5 feet in diameter are allowed. I don't know if they got somebody out there with a ruler or something, but maybe they can just spot it. You can't bring tents. I know those are popular, except for some baby tents. This policy was created in 2014 when there were so many tents on the beach, people couldn't even see the water's edge. You're just looking at tents the whole time. Raleigh Bike Share program is making a comeback. After changing vendors, Cardinal Bike Share will be back in action next week.
The city is offering 60 days of free rides to celebrate the reopening of the program. You can find more information on how to rent a bike on RaleighNC.gov. You can celebrate the beautiful trails our area has to offer this weekend. National Trails Day is this Saturday.
Great idea. In support, Wake Forest Recreation Advisory Board is hosting a family-friendly 5K and 3K walk run. It's set for June 3rd at E. Carroll Joyner Park on Harris Road. You can check in. Starts at 7 a.m. Get up early. Race getting underway at 8 a.m. You can register online right now if you'd like. The fee is $30. All funds raised will go into preserving the greenways. The otter family at the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher is getting a new habitat. It's upgraded and improved, and I think they're going to like it.
You may remember parents Leia and Quincy recently welcomed 3 pups to their growing family in addition to 3 older sisters. Their new enclosure will have 3 pools, interactive water spouts, nesting areas. They're living the life of luxury. The family will make their move tomorrow, which is World Otter Day. Did you know such
Spoil
a thing
them.
Existed?
They deserve to be pampered.
Guests at the North Carolina Zoo got quite the show on Sunday when a baby chimpanzee was born in front of everyone.
How amazing. Take a look. This is the picture. 12-year-old Gigi, now a first-time mom with her new baby boy. The animal care team says mama and baby are doing well. The baby appears to be healthy, active, and nursing. And with the new guy, the zoo is now home to 16 chimpanzees. What an amazing thing people got to see there.
So cute.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.